Beloved in the Lord, last week, if you remember, I had an invitation with me, and Miss Henley Feirick came up here and helped us understand something about invitations. When we get invitations, we said the first thing we want to know is, well, who sent it to us? I was invited by whom? We asked and answered that last week. We learned that the Lord God is the great inviter, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we really didn't talk much about what that invitation was inviting us to. Well, this week I have another invitation, I think it is anyway, and to whom is it addressed? Master Leonardo Risley. Leo, are you here somewhere? Could you come up here, Leo? All right, this has your name on it. Look at this invite. Come on up here, okay? First of all, before we do anything with this, you know, let's face you this way, because your mom and dad want to see you, I'm sure. But you know that you have the coolest name in the whole church, don't you? Leonardo, right? I love that name. So let's just make sure it's to you, right? So that says Master and Leonardo, that's your name, right? Risley. Does that look like your address, pretty much? Jenison, Michigan, and that zip code there, is that right? Okay. Who's this? Pastor Raj. Oh, that's me, right? Yeah. Faith Community CRC. So it's from me. This invitation is from me. Okay. I wonder what this could be about, though, right? When we get something like this in the mail, we really want to know. I mean, what's it to? And, you know, sometimes we get invitations, or maybe we don't get them. They're a surprise, right, for a surprise party. Yeah, do you like surprises? Did you like being called up here? Was it a surprise a little bit? Maybe a little bit. I think somebody may have clued you in a little bit. But when we get invited to something, sometimes we don't even know, and someone's going to secretly bring us to a place, and there's going to be a bunch of people who yell, "Surprise!" right? Like a surprise birthday party. But also, it's fun also to get something like this, and maybe we're invited to something that's way down the road, like 3 months down the road or something like that, and we get to, for 90 days, we get to think about it and get all excited and anticipate and that sort of thing. We just, I'm excited because, oh, now it's 2 days away, and now it's 1 day away, and that sort of thing, okay? Yeah, that's how invitations work, right? All right, but we want to know what this is about. Well, maybe, look at that. What are those? Trucks. Yeah. Let's see what's in here, shall we? All right. Okay. Here we go. Is there more in there? Nope, that's it. All right. Look at that. What is that? Truck. A truck. What kind of truck?
Monster truck.
Yeah, monster truck. And what's that? Another one. Yeah, that's the Megalodon. You ever heard of that one? You have? You've heard of the Megalodon? How about this one? Do you know what this one's called?
No.
The Dragon. It's the Dragon. It's spelled backwards there. I don't know why. That's funny, isn't it? But you can color these. That'd be cool. Well, let's see what this invitation is. You got an idea, maybe. Well, let's see. It's Dear Leonardo, 9/29/2024. Is that today? That's today. So this is for today. Uh-oh. You know what that says? This is just pretend. This is just pretend. Oh, man. Your hopes were getting up, weren't they? Okay. Well, it's just pretend. But let's just pretend, okay, make believe. All right. You are cordially invited to see the Monster Jam Monster Trucks at Van Andel Arena in March of 2025. Sincerely, Pastor Raj. Remember, this is just pretend, okay? But you know what? I am setting Harry Risley up for a Father of the Year award here, okay? But look at that. Yeah, there's that same one, the Megalodon. And there's the Dragon one. And wouldn't that be cool if you'd go there? We could go together, you and I. That'd be kind of fun. But like I said, this is just pretend. But it's so fun to find out, to what am I invited? What am I going to go to? And if this were real, it'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go to Monster Jam in March or whatever. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah. Do you want this?
Yeah,
I thought so. Okay. So I'm going to put it back in here. And you can color these. You can take a picture of them, send it to me. I'd like to see it, okay? But you can head back. We'll clap, okay? Thanks so much, Leo. Well, that's what we're talking about this week, beloved. Last week, of course, to whom or by whom was the invitation? This week, to what have we been invited? And we're thinking about this in relation to a series of five messages. This is number two, with the idea that down the road, October 20, we could use that as an opportunity to bring a friend, invite a friend, invite a neighbor to our worship service. So just keep that in mind as well. To what have we been invited? We've been invited by the Good Shepherd, by Jesus, by God. We know that from last week. But now, what is it that he is inviting us to? What is God inviting us to? We heard those verses read so beautifully in the Old Testament. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. It's an invitation. Come. Now think about the Matthew passage. Jesus says familiar words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls, for your hearts is what that means, of course. So with this invitation, come to me. We are invited to what? To a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Come to me, he says. That's what we're invited to. We have a risen and living Lord, Jesus, and he calls out to us, come to me, a real live relationship with a real live living Lord, with the one who forgave all our sins at the cross, with the one who is bringing us to heaven one day because he rose from the dead. You are invited to what? Into a relationship with him, the Lord Jesus. And so we ask, now that we know what it is, are you excited to go? Or, well, were you excited to go, to get into that relationship? Is there anticipation in your heart as you think about what you're being invited to? A new level of expectation. Jesus holds an invitation in his hand and says, come to me. Come into a deeper, wider, higher, longer love than you've ever experienced before. No one's love even comes close. That's what we're invited to. Are you excited for that? Or are you still excited for that? Let's think about that relationship for a few moments. My son Grant got engaged a week ago or so. He put a beautiful diamond ring on Caitlin's finger. And because of that diamond, I've been thinking about the word facet a lot. We say things are multifaceted. If we move to the baseball diamond, we say that Matt Vierling of the playoff-bound Detroit Tigers is a multifaceted player. He's been hitting well and defensively moves around the outfield and even heads to third base. He has some speed, not a ton, but he's versatile. Lots of nice facets to Matt's game. Now back to the diamond ring. The most expensive diamonds are multifaceted. There are many faces. That's what the word faceted comes from, faces. There are many faces or facets on certain diamonds. Diamonds are deliberately cut to show off many facets so that the light will shine through all hundreds of different angles and make the diamond ring shoot light out all over the place. Faces or facets are cut into that stone, and many of these facets have names. When you're a jeweler, you have to learn all those different facet types. So a diamond is one stone with many faces or facets to it, multifaceted. And I've been thinking about that word because that word works so well when you want to describe to what we are invited. We're invited to a rich, multifaceted, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't describe it all with one facet. One facet of a relationship with Christ is that Christ moves us from sickness to health. But that's not all. Another facet of that relationship is that the dirty are made clean. Another, the guilty are pardoned. Still another, the orphaned are adopted. And you can go on and on with all these faces or facets of that one single relationship with Jesus. The dead come alive. The enemy becomes a friend. The enslaved are freed. The weary receive rest. The rejected get accepted. The weak become strong. Those in danger are safely rescued. The poor made rich. The blind will see. The lost are found. The sinners forgiven. And so on and so on. All those facets. And this is the invitation you have received from the Good Shepherd who says, come to me. Come into a relationship with Jesus in all its fullness, with all its facets, blazing brightly, shining forth. So let's take a closer look at just a few of those facets this morning. It's in the Isaiah passage. One of the facets of that relationship is the facet of the people being exiled and then returning home. That's what that passage is about, generally. Israel was exiled, and God, the Good Shepherd, is inviting them back home. The book of Isaiah tells of the time when Israel will be removed from their land because of their own disobedience, removed by pagan nations who take them away. And then in our passage, it foretells here of a time when Israel will return home. God is inviting the exiles home. What a description. The people are called thirsty and without money because they're exiles. But God says, come back now. Come back home to me. Come to me. He's calling them back home from exile to home. They're far away. They'll draw near. Beloved, isn't that where we find ourselves sometimes? Far away from home. Far away from our spiritual home. Far away from God. Far away from being in that close relationship with Jesus Christ that feels like home. That's where some of us are today. Oh, we come here to church. We come to worship to see and be seen. Everything looks all right on the surface. But when it comes to what's going on in our hearts with the Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts are a million miles away. We've lost touch with our God. We're in exile. And today God is calling, inviting us home from exile, back home to Him. Some of us need to get back home. And God is calling you right now. Come to me. Look at another description in Isaiah, right at verse 1 this time, from despondency to delight. It's of people who are thirsty, who are hungry, who are too poor to eat, spiritually dry, parched, starving. It's the picture of people who are despondent before God. They've lost everything, even the will to go on. And God says, come to me, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare, from despondent desperation to delight in the Lord. But believe it or not, there are people here today just like that, who are despondent, who for whatever reason have no joy in their life right now. They may have a smile on their face, but no joy in their heart. Who struggle to get out of bed in the morning so bad. Who've sunk into a depression so deep that they can hardly function throughout the work week. And they need the delight of the Lord in their lives. They need His delightful presence to fill them up, to quench their thirsty mouths, to fill their empty stomachs, to satisfy their souls, to bring them from the brink of despondency that could be any one of us today. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. What else do we see in the text? From failing to the God whose faithfulness never fails. From failing to the God whose faithfulness never fails. There are people here today who are in or have been in a relationship that is failing or has failed. They have failing or failed marriages. Or they have felt like failures growing up because of the demeaning words of a parent. They have failed relationships with their own children. failed at jobs, failed in school, failed at friendships, failed to produce a child. No love has ever lasted for them. Bonds have broken all around them. And Jesus says finally, verse 3, come to me. Come to me. I make everlasting covenants with you. My love is faithful forever. I will never leave you or forsake you. We hear it in the New Testament. Jesus says, in your deepest, darkest failures, come to me. I will not fail you. My covenant is everlasting. In the Matthew passage, moving there, we see the facet of the relationship with Jesus that has to do with him moving us from being weary to giving us rest, putting a light yoke on the one who is burdened down, rubbing balm on us. And those people are here today too. Some are tired, so weary of trying, so tired of trying to do it all perfectly, to try to win the love of God by how good they are. And Jesus says, you need rest. This is the grace I offer you. You can't work your way to heaven. Never could. It's a gift of grace. You need rest. You're overcome with that. Stop trying to win your way. I love you. Others are wearied by the burden of a child who's walked away from the faith, or they carry the burden of past sins, past evils that they've been a part of. They carry it around. It weighs them down, wearies them. They're burdened with the guilt feelings and the shame. They walk stooped over spiritually, emotionally, because they can't release their burden. And Christ says, release it. Give it to me. I'll take it. Confess it. You're forgiven. Now take my yoke that is easy, my burden that is light. Rest now. Live in the freedom of forgiveness. Live in the joy of obedience out of gratitude for the forgiveness that I won at the cross, Jesus says. Not out of guilt, not to make things right, perfect, not that yoke, rather the easy one that tells us to live thanking God for removing the burden of guilt. He gives us rest from our weariness in those things. In Psalm 116, we hear some more of the facets of the relationship. I love the Lord, the psalm says, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. I was brought low, my eyes filled with tears, my feet stumbling. I was greatly afflicted. Do you hear all those? Trouble, sorrow, anguish, cords of death. And what does the passage say? Psalm 116, verse 5, the Lord is gracious, righteous, and full of compassion. Verse 6, he saved me. That's talking about a specific facet, isn't it? Grief over death. How many of us here are living in the trouble and sorrow and anguish that the cords of death brought into our lives? Cords of death that took loved ones from our homes. A child at so young an age. A newly retired husband. A stillborn infant. A wife who suffered before she died while a husband watched helplessly at her side. A dear sister. A loving mother. A father in the prime of his life. Who hasn't been touched by the anguish, the trouble, the sorrow, the grief of death? cords of death have touched so many of us. And Jesus says, in your great need, I will save you. I will bring compassion and comfort. Come to me. Come to me from grief to comfort and joy. And another verse in Psalm 116, verse 16, where the author writes that the Lord freed me from my chains. Well, how many of us have been chained, bound by chains for so long? How many of us struggle with an addiction to alcohol, to drugs, to pornography, and so on? You fill it in. How many of us are chained up and enslaved to something we wish now had never entered our lives? And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I'll free you from your chains. Your chains can't hold me. So let me take them off of you and free you forever from addiction to freedom, slavery to freedom. Have you heard your story yet, friends? Have you heard your story? Stories of times in your life when a facet of your life was so badly in need of repair, renewal, restoration, reconciliation, that you had nowhere to turn. And you heard Jesus calling to you, come to me. Come into relationship with me. Come back into relationship with me. Let me burn brightly through every facet that is dimmed. We have our stories, don't we? The stories of times when we could do nothing but fall away until Jesus Christ drew closer to us and brought wholeness, the wholeness of Himself back into our empty lives. Some of you could finish this sentence without even having to think very hard about it. God brought me through a time in my life when, and you could stand up and tell us all about it, because you know the story by heart, because it's your story, because you lived through every moment of it, and maybe still are. But the good news is each of these stories eventually ends or will end with, and that's when Jesus drew me closer than I ever was to Him before. And He carried me through. We have those stories, you know, sometimes buried deep, but they're there, multifaceted stories, different for each of us, and yet all facets of the same relationship, the one we have with Jesus Christ, all facets that can be shared with each other to encourage each other along the way, to encourage the body of Christ, but not just shared among ourselves, also shared with those who, like we have, are about to receive from the Good Shepherd that same invitation. Look at Isaiah 55 once more, verse 4. See, you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you. Why is that? Because the invitation from the Lord is going out, and it's the same invitation. Come, come to me. There are people who will hear the Lord inviting, and believe it or not, God may have in mind to bring them into our lives. God may have them make their way into our lives. Maybe here at church, maybe at work, down our blocks, at school, at the health club. We don't know, do we? If God is calling them with the same invitation He gave us into the same relationship He has amazed us with, are we not obligated to also receive those God has extended His inviting love to? Are we not obligated? Are we not encouraged? Are we not challenged? Are we not able to tell them of the facets of that relationship that have blazed brightly for us so they can see the invitation is real? Someone else received it too. Their coworker has received it too, and their coworker's name is you. Their next-door neighbor has received it too, and their next-door neighbor's name is you. Their treadmill gym partner has received it too, and their treadmill partner's name is you. That's what we do with invitations, isn't it? We get one in the mail, and when we're young, we ask around, are you invited? Are you going? Are you going? Are you going to be there? Who else is going to be there? I'm not going if you're not going to be there. But if you're going, FOMO, fear of missing out, I'm going too. Sometimes we do that as adults too. Well, here it is, shoes on the other foot. We've accepted, we're already in, many of us, a loving relationship with the living Lord Jesus. But someone else may have just gotten their invitation or be about to get their invitation. And they may need to know we're going to be there too, with them, for them. They may need to know there's no better place to be. They may need to know your story of when Christ got you through that rough time. And you know, who better to tell them than we who know? You know your stories. You know them well, probably by heart. And that's what other invitees need to hear. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have said to us, come to me. You've pulled us out of so many things into a new life with you. You've done that for us. You've invited us, given us the faith to believe that invitation is true even. And you've called us home and we've come. Come to me, you say. And so, Father, we pray that we would be attuned to that invitation in the life of others, to those times when it seems apparent you are calling to others who do not yet know you, come to me. And we just happen to know them, to be neighbors with them, friends with them. Give us the courage to speak up and say our stories too, that you called us, that you invited us, that you said, come to me, to us. Help us to let them know we'll be there, we'll be here for them, even as Jesus calls them home, invites them into relationship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.